Okay, I got a little bit of a rant issue here with MLB.tv. After having access to end of season games, games 163 in the wild card, no access to the playoff games. Have to listen to it on the radio. I'm pissed.
John, they basically are making us use illegal means to acquire their transmissions.
And I have done that. I had to listen to blips and beeps and tones on this one YouTube station. A little bit of a watermark thing going on there, but I was able to watch one game. But rest have been radio, which has been...
I am not surprised at all, John, that you've gone to Mexico and turned to a life of crime. Next thing you know, you're going to be, like, smuggling MLB transmissions in through your butthole across the border.
Well, I don't think I'll go to that extreme. Radio's working okay.
Okay.
Unless there's anybody out there that wants to send me their login to their cable subscription provider so that I could piggyback, that would be one option.
Okay.
But I have sought throughout the Googleverse other options, and none of them are really legit, nor are they that seem very safe.
I see.
I always feel like when I click on some of these that I'm going to wind up giving access to anything and everything on my laptop. Seems nefarious.
You need to get like a burner laptop that
I
you
know.
Can
yeah,
access.
That's a good idea.
Stuff.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe even a tablet. I have a tablet. That's
or just someone you don't like. Just borrow their laptop. Hey, Dave. Hey, Dave, remember that $50 you owe me? Yeah. You know what? For now, you don't have to pay me, but I am going to need to borrow your laptop to download potentially dangerous links.
Yeah. So this is episode 82 of Foul Territory. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
And there is only one player in the history of Major League Baseball to wear number 82 on the field.
Who dat?
And that would be Johnny Lazor or Laser.
Laser show.
Played 1 year. His career war is -0.06. And he played with Boston Red Sox in 1943.
Okay. Still better than Chris Davis, right?
Yes, much better. Sign him up, probably even at this age, if he's still alive.
Sign him up, Orioles.
I'm assuming he's not around anymore, but
he would be our,
unfortunately.
No offense.
We are smack dab in the middle of playoff season, and I wouldn't say super exciting yet. Hopefully will be now that we've got it down to the final four.
Yeah, I would say all four series were kind of stinkers, right? Like the Red Sox, when we talk about the Red Sox Yankees first, because that's what really everyone really only cares about,
right?
Is Red Sox Yankees. Yeah, that looked like it might take a turn towards being interesting when the Yankees won one of the games. They beat the hell out of David Price, which was shocking turn of events.
Right.
That the right-handed power
the
lineup
ERA.
Of the... Yeah, the right-handed power lineup of the Yankees was able to dominate the left-handed pitcher who can't get the Yankees out.
Mm-hmm. He's great in the regular season, that's for sure.
You know what I was thinking when I was watching that game is, what if they just said, look, last postseason you were great as a relief pitcher,
right,
and just make him that three-inning relief pitcher. Like, he just, I don't know, I guess someday he might break through it, but, like, is that something you really want to figure out now? Like, why don't you just let Porcello and Eovaldi and Sale start and Eduardo Rodriguez, and then just have Price be like the most expensive relief pitcher in the history of whatever, but dominant.
Right.
But anyway, that series looked like it was going to get good, and then the 16-1 game, I think, was kind of like, yeah.
Yeah, I was out that night, and what did they have, like a 9-run inning or 7-run inning or an 8-run inning?
Yeah, they had that 7-run inning, and that made it 10-0.
Yeah, that was all, you know, Katie barred the door. This game was long over. Yeah, that kind of weakened the whole series. You had a 1-1, and then you had a blowout.
I mean, that's like an epic blowout. I don't know where it stands in the playoffs in terms of margin of victory. And
yeah, that's up
that's
there.
That's a big 16-1.
Yeah, and then the game four, pseudo-exciting in the ninth inning.
Yeah. Kimbrough made it interesting. He couldn't find the strike zone. Now, in his defense, Angel Hernandez behind the plate,
right,
very dubious strike zone. He called Benintendi out in the top of the ninth on an outside slider that was a good 4 inches off the plate.
Yeah, I was listening to that on the radio, and even the Yankees announcers were like, oh my.
Yeah.
There's like, that was a gift.
But Kimbrell was not hit in the zone. And then I think he got saved by, I mean, he's a great pitcher, right? So it's like, well, maybe the batters were swinging at bad pitches, but also he makes a bad pitch look like a good pitch to start, mm-hmm. and then it becomes a bad pitch. That's part of his whole thing. The bang-bang play to end the game with the throw.
That's a first too, right? To have a series decided by going to replay?
Oh, I don't know if that's – I can imagine so.
Yeah.
And it was a nice era. Moment. It was. I will tell you, I was sweating that game, John.
Were you?
When it was 4-1, I was, and Kimbrel was coming. It was 4-1. They brought Chris Sale in.
Right.
I was like, yes, this is how you do it. Lock mm-hmm. it down. And of course, then Chris Sale gives up a deep fly ball to right center field. Like, all right, well, let's see if we can keep it on the infield. Then he kept the next one on the infield. The next one's a strikeout. Chris Sale got the job done. And then in comes Kimbrel, and it's like, all right, well, here's basically the best closer in baseball right now.
Sweated it out a little bit.
Whoops. Sweated it out.
Because of Game 5, Game 7, anything intense. Can happen. So,
yeah.
Everything's on the line. I would have to say, though, that Cora definitely outmanaged
Boone. Yeah. Boone. I mean, the thing is, people gave Boone grief about Severino on leaving him in too long, because I think he wound up giving up 6 of the 10 initial runs. But, like, they won 16-1. Like, if he could have pulled him out earlier, what would it matter? So they would have lost 12-1.
But he also stayed
one?
With Sabathia a little bit too long.
Well, the Sabathia too. One was a little too long.
Yeah.
That I can agree with. Because you have that bullpen, right?
Like, right. Go to it.
Go to the bullpen. Like, get Chapman in there in the third. Who cares?
Right. It's a must-win game.
Yeah, because it's like you get the day off anyway. If you win the game, you get the next day off anyway. So
and you cobble together, you know, 9 innings for Game 5. Yeah. Got everybody. Yeah. Pull on all the stops.
But I think I was right. We talked about the Reds, the key to the Red Sox and the Yankees. Red Sox, Chris Sale.
Mm-hmm.
I was right about that. Turned out even more so right with the pitching in the fourth game. But I said Aaron Judge was a key, and he was a monster.
He was. Nobody else was, but he was.
No one else was at all, but he was incredible.
Or Sanchez.
I told you Stanton.
Had a good game.
I told you about Stanton, didn't I?
Yeah.
Didn't I say?
He disappeared.
Yeah. He disappeared under the pressure.
Yeah, and he's getting a ton of scrutiny right now.
Yeah.
Basically, I mean, the Yankees wasted their money type of thing.
Well, that's ridiculous.
I mean, think so. I think he's, you know, it's 1 year. He's still got, what, 7 left? So let's see what happens.
I mean, look, these guys are humans, right? Like, he felt too much pressure, and he was trying to do too much. When a team like that, everyone just needs to try to do, like, a guy that big, you don't need to hit a 600-foot home run.
Here's the comparison, though. J.D. Martinez to Stanton. Okay, so Martinez is a good situational hitter. He drove in runs on sacrifice flies. He did what he had to do. He actually hit a home run, a wall scratcher, but he hit a home run to kind of set the tone in game one. But he, you compare those two acquisitions, the night and day difference.
Yeah.
All season long, and then also when the spotlight was shining brightest. Yeah, Stanton was a, I don't want to say a major disappointment, although a lot of people are.
Oh, well, that's a major disappointment in the playoffs.
In the playoffs, sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's like just Jose Ramirez for the Indians, and we'll get to them later, but, like, that's just a major disappointment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the biggest thing with the Indians, though, was the fact that they had a superior bullpen 2 years prior, and they get to this season with the worst division in probably the history of baseball, and they barely win 90 games.
Yeah.
They were under .500 against the rest of the league.
Right.
Which, that doesn't bode well when you go into the postseason, you're playing the best of the best.
Yeah. Plus, it's tough to get a good read on how good your team is.
But you must have enjoyed the 16-1 game. That was just like, just kick back.
Oh, yeah, no, that was
everything
fantastic.
Everything about
man.
It. And
it
Brock
fantastic.
Holt.
Of course, then Brock Holt, the first ever cycle.
I didn't even know about that until the next day.
Yeah. The 15th and 16th runs were scored on a Brock Holt home run off
so
of
he capped off the
Austin Romine.
So he capped it off with catcher. A home with a oh
yeah.
Austin Romine was pitching?
Yes.
Oh, so they did mop up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see the game, didn't really pay attention to it, because it was one of those ones like, well, that was, you know, one for the ages if you're a Red Sox fan.
It was a delight. At Yankee Stadium, oh, man, just the best. Sorry,
and
Yankee
a
fans.
A great bounce back. And
great bounce back.
And they're blaming it all on Aaron Judge for playing New York, New York, as he walked by the Red Sox locker room after the Game 2 win.
Right, trolling the Red Sox. Now, I will say, they're like, oh, you woke a sleeping giant. Like, no, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
These are guys who are going to go out and try to win the next day. The thing that I didn't understand was the Red Sox players, when they won, they kept playing New York, New York.
Over and over, right?
Over and over. Like, what are you doing? This is like, that's their song. You're like, you're playing their song to celebrate? Like, you're trolling yourself.
Right.
Like, you won. Like, play your song.
Right. Neil Diamond should be blaring, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But
it reminds me a lot of like when people were, you know, when the Stormy Daniels excerpts mm-hmm. came out from her mm-hmm. book and she described her
Mr. Trump's
penis
appendage.
And then like as being something like a video game a mushroom character looking character in a video game, and like ha ha, and everyone was like making fun of it. They're like, ha, the joke's on you. You're talking about Donald Trump's penis,
right?
Like you are. This is an own goal. You are trolling your own self. You're talking about his penis. Turn the page, but not necessarily the page of the Stormy Daniels book.
But the one thing that I do like about this is, if you've been a Red Sox fan for a long time, so the Yankees rivalry with the Red Sox in the 90s and the aughts was awesome. It was you know kind of toe-to-toe brawler mentality, a little venom in there, and it kind of waned over the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah,
it hasn't been it's back in a big way, you know, with a little bit of the trolling thing and some of the back and forth about Hernandez.
The brawl earlier in the year.
Yeah, Porcello and Sabathia. Yeah. That was Porcello was just like, CC, get the ball over the plate. How about the white part of the plate is when they call strikes. So you're starting to see that the hatred, that venom that had been lacking, I think, is starting to emerge again. So it'll be interesting to see how the Yankees respond in the offseason. They need pitching badly.
Yeah. Maybe they can take David Price.
giving him away for a song.
Well, they took Ellsbury and Damon and...
right. Oh, wasn't there a little bit of kerfuffle, probably lovingly so, from David Ortiz when Johnny Damon picked the Yankees to win?
Yeah, the Johnny Damon thing is one of the strangest things in sports to me. Like, that guy was a hero in Boston.
Right.
And then I guess he had some dust-up with one of the owners... And then that's kind of why he left. And then it's just so strange. And now he's kind of like a Yankee guy, but then like Yankee people don't think of him as a Yankee.
No.
They just think of like, oh, right, he was on our team. Just like so many other people have been on the team through the years. Like, but if he had stayed in Boston, he would have just been like this hero for it. Or if he had just not gone to the Yankees. I mean, but he was one of the original idiots.
Mm-hmm.
Like that won the first World Series in 86, blah, 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 like all that stuff. And then like he goes to the Yankees. What are you doing, man? You're going to become nobody.
Yeah.
And now he's a nobody. Now he's just Johnny who?
Who?
Did he play for the Red Sox? Oh, right. He did. Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, when you have a chance to be an immortal, you know what? It's like the line in Ghostbusters. When somebody asks you if you are a god, Ray, you say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's not exactly like that, John, but still, Ghostbusters is a great film. And by the way, is there a film? I mean, there's a couple of claymation effects that need to be fixed, but is there a film that holds up better than that? I don't think that I propose to you that there is not.
That's a good film.
It's a great film. We just watched it again recently, my wife and I, and we did a walking tour of New York to do the Ghostbusters walking tour. Yeah.
That's
pretty
cool.
Good. We did everything except for the fire station, which is all the way down in Lower Manhattan, and just. We're not walking down there.
So. No, that's a Ramis, I think, gets a lot of the credit for the comedic timing in that film. He's brilliant. And Bill Murray definitely helped. But just think about those three together, comedy gold.
Yeah. I mean, it's like almost a perfect film.
Mm-hmm.
Annie Potts is great in it. Ernie Hudson.
Yeah. Love Annie Potts.
Hitting three-pointers from outside. It's great.
Yeah. Very good. And I'm sure you love the remake.
Well, if you want to know how good the original was, watch the remake.
Yeah. The remake was just total fodder for, you know, trying to revitalize a franchise, and it's just awful. Total mess.
Oddly enough, I actually own that movie. It was given to me on a digital package thing, and I can't delete it. Anyway, I also have two copies of Kung Fu Panda, so I don't even know what to do with that. It's just digital copies. I can't. Oh, anyway. If you ever seen the, have you ever seen, this is the important stuff for baseball. Have you ever seen the Red Letter Media takedown of the new Ghostbusters?
Mm-mm.
I don't know if you watch those guys, but they're the ones who got famous by breaking down the original Star Wars, the prequels.
Mm-hmm. No, I haven't seen it.
On YouTube. Anyway, if you ever hated those movies, Red Letter Media does takedowns of those prequels. But they also do a takedown of Ghostbusters, the new one, that is absolutely perfect. A perfect explanation of why it's a terrible film and why the other one is great.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Red Letter Media, ladies and gentlemen. This episode of Foul Territory brought to you Red Letter Media.
So let's continue with the headlines and talk about the divisional playoffs.
Yeah. So Dodgers, Braves.
Yawner.
Right?
Kind of a yawner.
Kind of a yawner. Braves, who we were all surprised were there, seemed to also be very surprised that they were there.
And played like they were surprised to be
played.
There.
Played like it. It's tough, though. Will you go up against...
But you called the Foltynewicz. He was the key player, and he did not deliver.
They needed him to come through, and they pitched him twice, once on short rest. He did good on the short rest, but that Dodger lineup is just too much. He needed to be like that Foltynewicz we saw midseason, where it was like 10 strikeouts, three hits, and a walk. I don't know if you can do that against the Dodgers. I know you can get that strikeouts because they strike out a lot, but they just keep coming at you, and then they're bench, and then they're like, oh, you're putting a lefty in now? That's okay. We have an all-star to get the platoon advantage. We'll just swap out an all-star. Oh, look, Brian Dozier is on our bench.
But if we have a rematch of the Astros and Dodgers, you have to be having – you'll probably have nightmares going into that series because Kenley Jansen still looks like the new Kenley Jansen versus the old Kenley Jansen.
I mean, he looked good.
Except for
right,
home
and
runs.
I was saying he was the most, but technically that wasn't a playoff game.
That's true.
But in the two games he pitched against the Braves, three strikeouts. That's basically what you want. I'd rather four, but I'll take three. And he looked good, but he didn't. You know, I would be much happier if he had struck out maybe six batters.
Right, that'd make you sleep better at night.
I would feel a little more comfortable. I still feel like he is the thing that carries them through the playoffs. I mean, Kershaw, that was... Did you see any of Kershaw's game?
I did not.
It was weird. It was like this pitch-to-contact thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, very low pitch counts. And it may have just been that the Braves were like, you know what, we're not going to strike out.
Through seven innings? That's crazy.
But, like, he had, like, two strikeouts through seven innings.
Yeah, it was Mike Maddux. Or
like late Greg Maddux.
Greg Maddux, not Mike. Mike's
like late. Because remember, Greg Maddux used to bring the heat, man.
He used to. Yeah,
guy used to throw 95.
He was.
And then it was like, he's like on the corners. But then, so we don't know if it's whether there's something off with Kershaw or Kershaw was specifically doing something different for the Braves.
But Grandal said he was pitching differently.
Yeah.
It was a different approach.
It was weird. It was like a lot of ground outs and a lot of weak fly balls. And like maybe they felt like for the Braves. The Braves were so young and aggressive that was the way to pitch them.
But that's pretty amazing if that truly was. Let me change up my regular approach for this one game. And I think part of it, too, for him is like, I've got a lot to prove that I'm the guy.
Yeah.
And then he
He's been really good this year and last year combined. The previous years, of course, he's had all those problems. And now he's gonna be the first pitcher for them. He was not the first pitcher for them against the Braves.
And that worked out fine.
That worked out great. Mm-hmm. And then I got to figure Buehler who's going to pop in there, right?
Yeah, and he had an off night.
Now, I will say he had an off night, but he really just had an off inning where he gave up a couple of weak hits and then walked a couple guys, including the pitcher. And then Roberts had him intentionally walk another guy, which I never like doing. They were like, oh, well, intentionally walk this guy so we can get to the pitcher. And then he walked the pitcher.
And then Acuna hits a grand slam.
So, and they couldn't quite recover from that. But I did tell you, didn't I? When they lose by a run. And when they win by tons of runs. And that's exactly what happened. They lost that one game.
Well, they
by
came
a run.
Back in that game. They were down, what, 5-1?
They were down 5-1. They tied at 5-5 and lost 6-5 off a Freddie Freeman home run, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were right there.
So probably the most entertaining series, even though it was a one-sided, the games were close, were the Brewers-Rockies. I think Brewers are for real. I think it's the Brewers-Dodgers would be a great series. Yeah, Yelich had
I called that one, didn't I say? Yelich is going to be the difference. He hits a two-run home run in the first inning.
And he walked like eight times and scored six runs. He was pretty. Even though he only hit, 250 in the series, he...
But hit Schmidt. Like,
right. It was two for eight with a home run. I think three or four RBIs and eight walks and scored like five runs. Yeah. So
yeah, and like a 1500 OPS.
Dominant. Yeah, he's riding the wave for sure. He's been pretty darn impressive. But the Rockies bullpen or the Brewers bullpen look lights out,
except for Jeffries, who blew that one lead.
Yeah.
But I will say about that, Jeffries is the closer. But he's not the best pitcher on the team.
Hader
and what's his name? Knable is back to being great again.
But so they've got
and
three.
Even Soria, I think, is better than Jeffries. But he's become the closer, and you don't want to mix up the chemistry. And I get that. Like, you don't want to just play it by the numbers. But at a certain
Soria
point, it's like,
great.
Yeah.
So they
it is Jeremy
go-tos,
Jeffries. Like,
but they got four go-tos in the later innings, which makes life a lot easier for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it does shorten up the game, but the problem is, of course, when the last pitcher is the worst pitcher.
Right.
I don't know. That smells like trouble to me.
We shall see. I'm assuming you're going to go Dodgers, Red Sox?
Yeah. Why not?
Why not?
The two best teams, probably the two best teams in baseball. I felt all year that the Dodgers were one of the two best teams in baseball and just weren't playing like it.
And that would be the ratings bonanza.
Yeah,
and that's what the networks are hoping for.
And you hear some guy from the Marlins, former exec for the Marlins, is like, MLB is going to do everything it can to make the Dodgers win against the Brewers.
Okay, and like Angel Hernandez will umpire every game.
Right, but like Angel Hernandez is indiscriminate with his terribleness. Like,
right.
He's not.
No, he was fair to both teams. I guess you could say
it was a balanced attack.
Yeah, he wasn't trying to throw the game.
Just like a typical Marlins exec, right? Like he comes out and he's like, "Oh, this is what they're gonna do because this is what was happening to us. This is why we were
so bad.
This is why we weren't very good." Like, okay, Marlins exec.
MLB is against us. No, but I'll go. I'll mix it up and I'll say Brewers Astros.
So just the opposite.
Just the opposite. Yeah.
Is that really mixing it up, or is it just turning the coin on the other side?
Well, I think that will be a more exciting series, to be honest with you.
Hey, let me put it this way. If it's Brewers, Astros, it's a sweep for the Astros.
Oh, I don't think so.
This is the thing. The Brewers' offense is awesome. The Astros' offense is awesome. The Brewers' starting pitching is crap. The Astros' starting pitching is unlike anything anyone's ever seen before.
Right.
And they have a very good bullpen as well. I mean, not quite as good as Hader and Knable and Soria, but like just a notch below that. And... anyway, I think that's a sweep.
The Brewers are the hottest team in baseball right now.
All the more reason why they would be so hot going into the playoffs. They'd be very hot against
Rockies.
Exactly. To pull the Rockies like they did so many years ago against the Red Sox, where it's just like, wow, we made it to the World Series.
Sweep. Right. I'm just going the opposite of you just because.
Hey, you know what? A lot of people have done well in life doing that. Just doing the opposite of what I'm doing.
So Indians Astros, that was a stinker.
Awful. Yeah. Awful showing by the Indians. But then also, like, what can you do? Like, the Astros starting pitching is just incredible. And, you know, your offense wasn't really clicking in September, and it kept not clicking. And Jose Ramirez was 0 for 11 or 0 for 12, and that's not good, no matter what statistics you use.
Yeah.
Rough.
Yeah, there's their bullpen is going to be a major concern moving forward for sure. Andrew Miller, not the same. They're starting pitching.
Well, Andrew Miller's a free agent, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I could see him going to another team. And look, he doesn't have to be like the Superman that he's been. I think that the Indians used him too hard.
Too much. His knees were the issue for him.
Yeah, and you I think if you sign him, you're like, look, we want to sign this guy for the playoffs. So it makes sense for him to go to somewhere like the Red Sox or the Dodgers, where they're not going to be like, oh my God, it's the middle of the summer and we need Andrew Miller to come through. Mm-hmm. You know, anyway, in my opinion.
So the Indians end their season.
Yeah.
They also retired the Chief Wahoo logo.
Yes.
Was that on Columbus Day?
It was on Columbus Day. So the Indians and the Braves wiped out of the playoffs on Columbus Day.
That's fitting, I guess. So what is the, it's just going to have the C? It's going to be the boring C?
Yeah, they're going to do the C, and then they'll probably find something else to do, but it will not be a slight, I mean, is it, I guess it's racist, right? Because it's kind of a caricature of whatever, but it's just, it's a cartoon, and cartoons have exaggerated features, so I don't know. You know what's racist to me, though, watching the Braves play, is the tomahawk chop.
Right. That's a little bit over the top.
I don't know how, like, that's racist, right?
And
like,
their logo, the face of the Brave on theirs is a little bit animated, isn't it? Or did they move away from that?
I think they moved away from that.
Okay.
But look, let's get back to the crowd here. This is, and again, this is mostly white people. I know it's Atlanta and it has a very high African-American population, but most
not
of the people
the
at the games... Yeah, exactly. Most of the people at the games are white, and they're all chanting that, like, I don't know how I would feel about that as a Native American. Like, okay, you took all our land, and okay, that sounds great. You know what? I think I'm going to go to the casino.
So the Astros, in anticipation of the ALCS, sold out all of their tickets in 3 minutes.
It's awesome, right? Like, they've become like a baseball town. You have a great team is what happens, right? And they do.
And Bregman's all agitated because they weren't playing in primetime.
Well, here's the thing. I saw some people complaining about this, about like, oh, well, you're not developing the stars. And like, TBS and Fox and ESPN don't give a rat's butt about building the stars of the future. No. They need ratings right now. So they're going to put on the best ratings games in the best rating slots to make their money now. The league can worry about promoting the teams and all that stuff. Like, Bregman, if you want to be in the prime time, leave Houston.
Unless they become a dynasty and they win like three, four.
Yeah,
four
I mean,
in a row.
But still, like,
love.
But New York is always going to have more ratings than Houston.
New York,
like,
Chicago, LA, always.
Yeah.
Boston.
Yeah.
Always be. Preference. Yeah, anybody to argue with the Yankees Red Sox being the lead that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
That's good for baseball. That's good for revenue.
I saw someone writing an article and was like, "Oh, if you think football's having trouble, look at baseball." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, what?" And the article was factually incorrect. And I was like, "Of course I'm reading an article in USA Today and it's just factually incorrect." And they're talking about how, like, "Oh yeah, baseball attendance has been declining." But, like, no, it declined this year, and many people
legitimate
think it has
reasons.
To do with for the two reasons of so many teams tanking and also the terrible weather throughout the season.
Mm-hmm.
Had a legitimate – and they're like, and the ratings aren't as good as football. But, like, yeah, but the ratings are up because people are staying home because of the rain, and it's – you can't compare it to football. It's
right.
And they're like, well, you know, the regular season game, a football game, got better ratings than the Yankees Red Sox game.
Of them.
Yeah, because there's only 16,
right.
And also there's like so many more gamblers and fantasy football players for football than there is for baseball playoffs. Like yeah, but to say that the sport is struggling because it's not doing as well as football, like, that's just stupid. And by the way, football is the ones whose ratings are going down,
right? Kneeling, all those kneelers.
All the kneelers, man. And then they want to kneel for women's rights and, like, so many kneelings. It's exhausting.
It is.
I'm getting older, John. All this kneeling is exhausting.
We did talk a little bit about Angel Angel Hernandez and his three calls being overturned.
Yeah.
But
his crazy strike zone against the Red Sox Yankees.
Yeah, so in the blown calls at first base night before.
Yeah.
But he's also in the news for a lawsuit, or has been for the last year.
Yes, he is trying to sue the league, or he is suing the league for discrimination because they won't let him umpire in the World Series.
Or as a crew chief,
Too,
right?
Yeah, that's right, as a crew chief.
So he's all, you know, bent out of shape because, and right after the lawsuit, he was, you know, in the All-Star game and also in the playoffs and last year and this year. But there are players who are just ripping him left and right, you know, who have obviously in the playoffs, but even during the regular season, there are players who are like, you know, this guy's bad news.
Yeah.
How does he even?
It is America personified that someone gets to file a lawsuit against his employer for not promoting him when he's bad at his job. Honestly, if that doesn't show you the beauty of the United States of America, you just go to Canada.
So, but umpires, though, who have retired in the last, I would say, going back 5 years and back, have to be enjoying, like, well, we're so glad that we didn't umpire during the statistic era, advanced metrics era, because their umpires are now measured based on their success rate with calls, strikes and balls, and their overturns on calls in the field, on instant replay calls. So now they're measured to an extent that they've never been measured before, maybe behind closed doors, but now it's for all to see.
Yeah.
And he's the poster child for, I guess, the state of America.
Yeah, he's the poster child for bring on the robots.
Right, right. So let's see what else we got here. Oh, Chris Bryant. I saw a headline on this. Was it during the regular season that he turned down this huge extension from the Cubs?
Yeah, my understanding is that it was during the season and not just recently. Yeah.
That's a lot of money, $200
million. $200
million. And I'm curious as to when it was during the season, because he kind of had an injury-riddled subpar season for him. And he may be kicking himself just a little bit, saying, like, God, that $200 million.
Maybe he kicked himself, and that's how he got injured.
So speaking of big money deals, you have the note here is Nationals acquire Kyle Barclay. I think the bigger news there is that the Marlins are doing everything they can to get international money.
Oh, is that their move? I like that move.
Yeah, they're trying to get the Victor and the Victor Jr., and they're trying to do the Cuban triumvirate and try to get all three of those players signed. So they're now right about on par with the Orioles' international slot money, given the trade. And it had to be for a significant amount of money to give up 3 years of control of Barclay, even though his his rise to closer and his immediate fall from closer status was a quite night and day performance.
Yes.
I mean, he went from being lights out to, I think he was pitcher of the month in May or June, to god awful at an ERA of over 10 from that
lights
point
on. Is that is that the opposite of being lights out? Is lights on?
Lights on. If they can get these players, they're building a solid foundation that would be good. Yeah. And I guess the Mesas had their a closed door tryout or showcase at Marlins Stadium. And the thumbs up from a lot of scouts. They liked what they saw.
Yeah.
So if the Marlins can land all three of those players, including the pitcher who I'm forgetting what his name is, that would be great. But if they just start giving away and they don't get any of those players, it's a little bit of a head scratcher as to why they were giving up 3 years of control, unless they know something about Kyle that we don't know.
Right. Well, I mean, if they don't get those three, there are other international free agents they can sign. So it's not,
such
a restricted thing now. And as long as they're not committing rules violations like the Red Sox and the Dodgers and the
even the Nationals had a little bit of a hand slap that they can only spend like $300,000 per transaction, which is one of the reasons why, like, we'll give up the money. We've got $3 million in our bank and we can't use it.
Yeah.
So that interesting. We'll see how that all kind of plays out.
And you hear that Brad Ziegler retired.
I did. Yeah. I think he retired on his birthday. And I didn't realize this, that he toiled in the minors for quite a long time, for 6 years. He didn't come until he was 28 years old was his debut in MLB.
So he was sidearm, like, crazy ground ball rate.
Yeah. So it was like, oh, he's ending his 11-year career. I'm like, he's 39? He's only been in MLB for 11 years? So yeah, he toiled for quite a while before he came up. Yeah. And it's probably a good time for him to bow out.
Yeah.
Wasn't very effective the last year and a half. Bright spots here and there, but definitely not a closer anymore by any means.
Yeah, kind of just a righty specialist, and I don't think – I think lefty specialists can find a place in baseball, but I think righty specialists are a lot harder to justify.
And he announced his retirement on his 39th birthday, which was so fitting. Yeah. Celebration.
Yes.
This was a great story during the season where the Tigers announcers, you know, started beating each other up after a game.
Yeah, apparently over a chair.
Is that what I never heard the story as to why they got into an altercation. It was chair related?
My understanding is that it was over a chair. Now, here's the thing about announcers for baseball games. There is no easier job in the world, and there you can be terrible at it and just do it forever. And for the most part, teams don't really care. All you have to do, literally, all you have to do, John, is not get into a fist fight with your broadcasting partner. That's all you have to do. I mean, Charlie Steiner?
Mm-hmm.
He's been on the Dodgers radio broadcast for God knows how many years. He's terrible. Him and Rick Monday together you never heard two people talk in the same room that sounded like they were in separate rooms and just like refusing to speak to each other. It's the weirdest thing. They hate, I don't know if they hate each other or they just want to do it themselves or what's wrong with, or I don't know, maybe, you know, one of them has a meth addiction and it's, I don't know, it's distracting them. But it's, all you have to do with these broadcasts is just look at Vin Scully. No, I'm just kidding. He's a great announcer. He's a great announcer. But like the turnover on announcers is so low. Mm-hmm. Just don't fight over a chair.
Right.
So they're gone. Guys from Detroit are gone.
They did the investigation and they determined that they both needed to go.
Yeah.
And no one's watching games, Tiger games anyway. So.
Though I will say our idea of, you know, hunting civilians and stuff like that, mm-hmm, to increase attendance at Tigers game. This might have been the actual better idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, just broadcasters fighting each other.
Or fans fighting each other
MMA.
To get to the broadcast booth.
Yes.
Kind of like climbing the pyramid in the stadium to call a game. So before every game, there's a brawl.
I love it.
That could get some people to the ballpark.
Yeah.
So another interesting bit of news that is ideal for the setup for the next bit of news is Major League Baseball says they want a share of casino bets. So we're talking about the sports book.
Yeah, they're talking about legalizing gambling. And a lot of the, we've talked about this before, like all of the league representatives have been sort of okay with the sports betting thing, but we get a percentage.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they want. They want a tiny percentage just so they're getting some money for these people making money off of their product.
Mm-hmm. Which is fair.
It seems fair-ish. Is it, though? I don't know.
Only if it turns into a situation where like we're in on the rube, you know, to try to throw games. And I don't think baseball is a sport where that happens.
Right.
Frequently, if at all. Solo sports, I can see it happening a little bit more.
Yeah.
I just don't see it as something, unless you're Pete Rose. But we're talking about an era gone by. I don't think it's
or unless you're divorcing Pete Rose.
Right. Oh, my back.
Oh, I can hardly move.
Medical bills.
Yeah, but I can make it to that card signing. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, I'll be there.
I'll be there.
Little cash, sure. Why not?
Was there $1,200? Okay, I'm in.
So then there was this big news that came out yesterday, some rumor mill out in Vegas, that there's some deals going down, land deals going down, that are a precursor to MLB expanding into Vegas. And it just set Twitter aflame yesterday.
Yes. Because there's NFL coming there, right? It's not there yet, right?
2020.
And there's hockey there now.
Yep.
Right?
Very successful.
So why not a baseball team?
Right. Makes sense. But there's this. I guess the big thing is one of the properties that's next to the Rio Casino, which is what they're talking about, will be torn down for this land development deal for a ballpark. The property across the street is basically investing twice as much as what they initially said they were going to do, and most economic experts are saying that is a losing investment. Why would anybody ever do that? And then the news came out yesterday that the property across the street may be developed by MLB into a ballpark. Or not MLB, but by a franchise into a ballpark. Which makes that deal across the street look that much more, makes that much more sense.
Right.
Interesting to see. It's going to happen. You know, Vegas has been talked about for years as an expansion city and played against some of the other cities that have been talked about for franchises moving and expansion. So, yeah, it's going to happen.
Yeah. Eventually. Well, I would love expansion. I would love to get two more teams in the league. And I know there's some people are like, oh, there's not enough talent in the league. I disagree. I think there's enough talent. There's enough guys in the minors now, enough free agents. It's enough to, Like when you've got teams like the Yankees and the Dodgers just stacking up.
There's plenty of room.
Plenty of room.
Yeah.
They're stacking up bench guys because they can. Because they're like, oh, they're just there's just so many. Like you look in the offseason, these unsigned players. Come on. Let's get another team out there.
I agree. Hopefully within the next couple of years, we'll hear an announcement.
I'm into
that's
it.
That's going to happen. That would be great. So our last headline for the week, I know this one excites you to no end. Lenny Dykstra.
One of my favorite recurring characters on our show, John.
Lenny Dykstra back in the news again. Indicted on cocaine, meth, and terroristic threat charges.
I mean, basically, it's a triple crown.
Right. He has no borders, does he?
This guy, I mean, honestly, it would be hard to make up a character like this. A guy who goes from being a baseball hero, all-star, right? Like, not Hall of Famer, but all-star,
mm-hmm.
to a financial genius who turned out it was all a sham, and it all collapsed under the weight of its shamness.
He's a scam artist.
And then, now he's like, he's got cocaine, he's got meth, he's making terroristic threats. Well, that'll probably never go through in terms of charges, right? Because that's one of those things they add on there, and then they plea down to, like, aggravated assault or something like that.
He wasn't the guy that threatened to blow himself up on Election Day in D.C.
No, he was not that guy.
That wasn't the thing.
Okay. The guy with the 500-pound bomb?
Yeah. That's just a little... It's more than blowing himself up.
I'm just glad that people aren't taking this politics thing too far, you know? people are keeping level heads and... clearly understand that this is not the apocalypse and that a four-year change of political blah 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 isn't gonna. I'm just glad that people don't see it as like the dystopian future has begun.
Right.
People are just being calm and reasonable on both sides. It's really quite wonderful, John.
Yeah, it feels like we're, you know, the Americana of the 50s. We finally got back to it.
Yeah.
It's all peace and love and doves flying and
said
hugging.
John, who's now hiding out in Mexico as the left and the right take up arms against each other.
Don't tell anybody. Okay, that wraps up headlines. Let's move on to Starting Nine, a little tribute for First Man. It opens this weekend, right?
That's right.
Yeah, First Man with the dashing, I'm now forgetting his name. I was going to say Ryan Reynolds. Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, the other Ryan.
The two gorgeous Ryans.
Yeah.
So this one, Starting Nine, is for nine players with NASA film-related names. Plenty of those out there, so I'm very excited to hear these.
Right, so NASA films, instead of just regular space films, these are films that involve space, of course, but then also involve NASA. So it's not going to be like Star Wars.
Gotcha.
Or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, or Guardians of the Galaxy or whatever. So it won't be that kind of space. This is actual, like, NASA stuff.
And there's plenty of those.
Yeah, there's enough.
There's at least nine, though.
There's at least nine, yeah.
Okay.
You got to field a team, John. Otherwise, I don't do the category. First up, First Mando Rodney.
Very good.
Yeah.
First Fernando Rodney.
Yeah,
first.
Okay.
I like First Mando, though.
First Mando, yeah.
That could be a name.
You're
going to hear kids being, you know.
Don't,
you know,
John, don't even get them
now,
started
a
out
A year
there.
From now, there's going to be children named First Mando.
Okay, next one is Tommy Interstellar.
Very good.
Lestella. Tommy Lestella,
mm-hmm.
Interstellar. Which I think is one of my favorite space films right now. There's flaws in that film, but tone-wise, I love that film, and the soundtrack is just dynamite.
Yeah, the soundtrack is awesome.
Yeah.
So many good things about it. I would say it's a tad on the long side. I think I might have chopped off about 15 minutes, and it still would have been great or even better. But the last 20 minutes of that film are unbelievably good.
I would say this about that film. I hate that they had the annoying trope of the female wrecks everything.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't seen the movie, sorry, spoiler alert. What's her name? Anne Hathaway causes one of the other scientists to die on that one on the Wave Planet,
mm-hmm.
and that's just like in almost every action adventure film,
Oops.
Right? The woman makes the mistake that causes someone their life or puts them all in jeopardy or whatever. I don't know. I think Christopher Nolan might be a little bit of a misogynist. I mean, watches films a little. anyway. The other thing is, what the hell's Matt Damon doing in that film?
Right, that was like came out of left field.
Yeah, like that was the most bizarre appearance of a person in the film. I've watched it, I don't know, maybe 8 times. I still am jarred every time. Sometimes I'll just fast forward over that.
Yeah, it just, it seemed he could have picked, I mean, even Ben Affleck would have probably been a
like,
better choice.
You could have, like, why does not have it just be like a person?
Right, just
why
anybody.
Why does it have to be like a superstar who's like a bigger star than anyone else in the film?
It was one of those things that when it happened, it was such a distraction that it, yeah. You know, there was the entire theater was a Twitter with, you know, for 15, 20 seconds that,
yeah.
You know, just kind of like that just totally took everybody out of the moment. I just thought that was I would say that was a mistake in the film, not a huge one, but still it wasn't necessary.
Yeah.
Great movie.
Anyway, those are my two big complaints.
Gotcha.
The science of it all is pretty interesting,
cool.
and pretty accurate.
Yeah. An so intellectual anyway, film for sure.
Yeah. Next up, speaking of Matt Damon, The Martian, Prado. Martin Prado. Or Martin Prado, I guess.
Martin
right?
Prado. That's good.
David the Right Stuff.
Oh, that was slam dunk.
Yeah, that's an easy. I should put that one first, but I liked First Mando Rodney better.
First Mando is—it's gonna be a thing. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah. Kendall Gravity Man.
Nice, very good.
Kendall Graveman. Yeah. Okay, this one's a tough one. Okay, Trevor Hidden Figures. Doesn't really work. It's Hilden Figures, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. Trevor Hilden Figures. That's what it is.
Okay.
Hidden Figures, Trevor Hildenberger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one didn't work. Next one. Apollo Aaron Al 13.
Okay.
Right? Apollo 13. Mm-hmm. Also a very good film.
Very good film.
For a Ron Howard film, too, especially compelling. Matt Space Cowboys.
Okay, good.
That Matt Boyd.
Good, that was a good movie.
Space Cowboys, yeah. And then last but not least, one of my favorites, Anthony Armageddon. Grendon. Armageddon.
That's good.
Anthony Armageddon. I should probably practice these beforehand, right?
No, it makes
Armageddon.
It's better when you do it like this.
Armageddon.
Armageddon.
Armageddon. Anyway. I don't want to close my eyes.
Okay, so that wraps up Starting Nine. Go see First Man.
We did it.
In theaters now.
First Mando.
First Mando. You heard it here first. There will be children named First Mando in a year from now. So let's go around the horn. We are down to 4 teams, so we're going to talk about the most important players for each LCS playoff team.
Right.
How about those Red Sox?
I mean, I want to say Chris Sale again, right? He's going to start game one. I want to say, but you know what I'm going to say for this one? I'm going to say it's Mookie Betts.
Yeah, I think it's got to be an offensive
It's got to be an offensive guy against this starting lineup, mm-hmm. right? The starting pitching for the Astros. It's got to be.
Yeah, set the table early.
Yeah.
In every game. You know, it's going to be important for the Red Sox to score first.
Yeah. They're going to have to get
series.
A few runs. They're going to have to squeak mm-hmm. a few runs out. There's some weakness in the middle relief for the Astros, and it's not like these guys are impossible to get hits off of, but yeah. you're going to have to get hits off of people that's almost impossible.
Boston, they just have to run into a fastball, you know,
yeah.
with a runner on, and a 2-1 win is all they need. So it'll be, they're definitely going to need the, you know, great pitching, starting pitching, but they will have to score runs. The only way they win this series is if they score, you know, 3-4 runs a game. So who's the go-to for the Astros?
Oof, who's going to be for the Astros? I mean, I feel like it's not going to be the offense. I'm going to say for the Astros, it has to be Verlander. He's going to be the game one starter. I think he needs to shut down the Red Sox twice, and they win.
Yeah, that's one of the interesting things, though, about Verlander, though, is that he gives up the long ball.
He does.
And definitely the Red Sox are
well,
a
you know, he is
team.
Married to Kate Upton.
Right. So he has to. But yeah, I think it will be interesting to see what offense You know, Bregman has been kind of the guy for them in the latter half of the season.
And Altuve was a big stinker.
Yeah, he was. And Correa actually hit a home run.
Yeah. So but he's having back trouble still. And, I mean, that's been his whole season, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's still going to be an all-star in the future. But mm-hmm. you have back problems, healthy. Man.
Yeah. Can't do much of anything.
Yeah.
Dodgers.
Okay, Dodgers. I said earlier Kenley Jansen, but I'm going to go with Clayton Kershaw. I think, again, it's a little bit like Verlander. Kershaw needs to shut them down twice. Now, he's a lefty, and I think that the Brewers are weaker as a left-handed, against left-handed pitching, and I think it's vital that he goes in there and shuts them down twice for
any chance he goes.
You've
got to
win at least one. No.
No?
No. I think they have so much pitching that there's just no need to have him go three.
Okay.
There's just no need. And also, like, there's something wrong with him.
Right, he's pitching.
There's something wrong with
he's pitching soft now.
He gave five runs. He gave up five runs to the Giants.
That was just him working it out. He was working out
it as they were scratching for their playoff lives?
We'll see. We'll rough. See which one shows up. Game one. When is the game one? So are they tomorrow?
Tomorrow, Friday. Or today, depending on when people
when
are
listening.
Or yesterday.
Or yesterday.
Depending on.
Or last
I'll
week.
Probably listen to it on the weekend, so it'll be yesterday.
Okay.
And how right I was about Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah.
Right? Neither right, listeners? Woo! I was surprised. Were you?
How about the Brewers?
I'm going to go back and say Yelich. I think Yelich has to keep doing what he was doing and he's been doing. And he's, I mean, especially with all the lefties the Dodgers have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know what his splits are. Do you? Are you familiar with his splits at all? I don't want to look him up. But anyway, he's got to keep it going with the walks, with the hits. You know, they have a solid defense, which is so funny because, you know, remember they got rid of Domingo Santana at the mm-hmm. beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. Or not got rid of him, but they basically replaced him.
Yeah.
You know, moved him to like a bench bat. And everyone was like, what's the matter? This guy hit like 40 home runs last year. You're benching him. But he was a bad defender. So great. They have a DH if that becomes a thing. But with Braun's not so great in left field. But with Kane and Yelich in the outfield, they have a very good outfield.
Good outfield. Yeah, I agree. I think Yelich needs to do well. The bullpen needs to the starting pitching has to get to the bullpen with the lead.
Yeah.
That's
I mean, no one has the outfield of the remaining teams is the Red Sox outfield.
Mm-hmm.
Like that Betts, Bradley and Benintendi in the out is this, that's just crazy. You have three center fielders.
Right.
Playing the outfield.
Tons of speed, all have good arms.
Yeah.
Well, Betts doesn't have as good of an arm, but good, solid defense, solid offense, great speed. Yeah, it's good. The four teams that are left are the four best teams in baseball right now. That's
right.
The way it's supposed to be. No surprises, really, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, these are all the ones we said would advance, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They are. The favorites won.
Yeah.
So that wraps up Around the Horn. That wraps up all of our baseball conversation. We now move to Extra Innings, a majority of our fans' favorite part of the show, where we talk about what's going on outside the world of baseball. We have a huge following of non-baseball fans. So let's talk a little bit about... So this is the time of year when all four major sports are happening.
Hockey.
I don't include soccer, so I would say four major sports.
Well, that's because we're not talking about major recreational activities.
Running around and falling.
Yeah, shuffleboard. We're not going to talk about that season. Table tennis.
NBA kicks off next week, and that will have all four major sports going on at once, which is, if you're a sports nut, it's the best time of year.
Yeah. So, interesting to see. This is going to be the Eastern Conference. LeBron. I mean, everything is about LeBron James this season, right? Mm-hmm. Because now the Eastern Conference is like, well, LeBron James is not going to be coming, bringing a team, willing a team into the finals.
Who is going to
from the Eastern Conference?
Right.
I mean, I feel like the Celtics. Right. Like
they
I don't as much as I like all the Boston teams. I don't like the Celtics, and I feel like that's the team.
Yeah, it's going to be. I think it'll be either Philly or Boston.
God, wouldn't Philly be a great story, though?
It would be awesome.
Wouldn't that be a great story?
But whoever wins gets to play the Western champ and will most likely lose. But the big hullabaloo was that the LeBron James-led Lakers beat the Warriors in a preseason game. So like everybody,
a preseason game. Uh-oh.
Yeah, we have to get all concerned about that. And as the Warriors have shown, you don't need to win 72 games. It was kind of a cool thing. But when you do that, you leave it all out in the court in the regular season, and you lose in the finals. They ratcheted it back. And then
it adds a weird pressure in the finals, right?
It does. It's crazy. So they're like, that's not necessary. We can lose 20 games. We'll still be ready for go time come playoff season. And, you know, it's working for them so far. You know, the Spurs are no longer the Spurs because of getting rid of Kawhi. Toronto probably is an outside chance in the Eastern Conference, but I don't think that team's going to gel. And Leonard, I don't even know when he's going to be back because he's still hurt, isn't he?
I don't know, actually.
Not that you're following everything Kawhi Leonard.
But I'm not following everything in Toronto, John. But I am interested. I am more of a Western Conference guy. I'm very fascinated by Harden and the Rockets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've been a great
and his
team.
New move, right? He's got his new... The league has determined that his new move is not traveling. He's got this behind-the-back thing that he's doing.
And they have Carmelo Anthony, make them a little bit better.
That's not necessarily a plus. and then, you know, the Thunder, they could – I mean, it won't be by finesse that the Thunder advance.
So Thunder –
they could.
Thunder, you feel the Thunder?
You know what? I am feeling some Thunder, and it's not just because of Hurricane Michael.
Okay. We haven't talked about that.
Yeah, so I know. It's tough.
Hopefully everybody in the panhandle is pulling everything back together after that kind of ravaged Mexico. Was it Mexico Beach kind of obliterated
off the
map?
They got the brunt of it, yeah.
Yeah, that's horrible, horrible.
Yeah.
So let's move on to brighter things, happier things.
Yeah. Thanks for bumming us out,
Jed.
Right,
yeah, wait, bringing it.
I was going to say John, but then I brought it up. What a jerk.
Drew Brees, primetime.
Yes.
With the whole nation
The Mole
watching.
Man.
Yeah, he... The Mole Man. breaks the record for all-time yards. And he does it on a Monday night game with a long touchdown pass.
Against the Redskins on Columbus Day.
Couldn't have written a better script.
Could have written a less racist script, but very good script nonetheless.
Yeah, and guy 39 years old, still putting up big numbers.
Still heaving it up there.
Yeah, and the Saints are going to be good. They're going to have to outscore. It's going to be track meet every week. Their defense should be better than it's playing, but look for the Saints towards the end of the season.
Yeah.
They definitely have a little bit of
I really don't start looking at how good the teams are till about this time.
Yeah.
The six through the ten games to me, like you really start seeing who is a very good team and who just happened to catch a couple lucky breaks or a couple of bad breaks.
So you have like the Falcons 1-4 and you have New Orleans was 4-1.
Do you mean the Falcons who were basically two running plays away from winning the Super Bowl 2 years ago?
Yep.
Do you mean those Falcons?
Okay. Right. Haven't recovered.
Wow.
That window, I think, is gone for them. So that,
I honestly, John, I think about that maybe once a month. I just think about that all as a Patriots fan. Like the only reason why the Patriots won that game was because the Falcons didn't run the ball twice. Mm-hmm. That's all. That's the only reason. Amazing.
Yep. When you sit on a lead that big, you have a tendency to get shown up, and they did.
All they had to do was run the ball twice. Just don't drop back for a sack and don't get a holding penalty, and you win the game.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Well, or 100 other plays that happened.
No, I know. I know there's 1,000 plays and there's 1,000 things, but really it all came down to at the end that drive where the Falcons had gone into the Patriots territory, were almost within field goal range, and kind of just needed to run the clock down a little bit and move the ball a little closer to the goalposts, and win the Super Bowl. Falcons fans, if you're listening. Sorry about that.
Sorry, Braves fans, if you're listening.
Sorry. Hey, at least you're not being hit by a hurricane right now.
Well, it was just a tropical storm.
Yes.
So they got a little bit of the outskirts of the Western Wall.
Yeah.
So last on our list, a little bit of politics. Wouldn't be right if we didn't talk about politics just a teensy bit.
Yes.
So Trump and Kanye are having lunch.
Right.
Big things being discussed.
Are they talking about their 2020 run together for president? Or are they talking about Kanye's 2024 run for president?
Probably both.
No. Sorry, they're actually just talking about prison reform and criminal justice reform. And again, I'm the first to admit I was wrong, or not admit I was wrong, but about Kim Kardashian, who's actually doing something. And it's just mind-boggling to me that she's actually doing this thing, and she's helping to create reform. And what bothers me the most about all of this is how people are making fun of these two, saying that Kanye is a mental illness. And look, sure, he may be having mental problems, and you it's okay if you don't like Trump, but Kanye is trying to help African Americans in this country. He's trying to make a difference, and he's being ridiculed by African Americans and by a lot of white people, by the way, who I feel like the current sensitivities, maybe we keep it locked down a little bit about making fun of the black guy who's trying to effect a change. Now, is he unusual? Absolutely, Kanye is unusual.
But he has a megaphone, and why not use it?
Exactly. And if he's using it for good, then it's for good. Then let's not like crap all over him and send him home to make more albums, which frankly haven't been that great recently.
So what's coming up next?
Soon to be former MLB umpire Angel Hernandez stars in the reboot of The Adventures of Mr. Magoo.